Many a Slip. Introduced by Roy Plumley.
Many a Slip, round 12, in the last round of this present series. The ladies have won 5 rounds, and the gentlemen have won 6. Can the ladies' team win this last round and make the contest a draw? The tension is terrific. On my right, the ladies' team, Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds. On my left, the gentlemen, David Nixon and Tim Rice. I read out some pieces with mistakes in them. The first player to spot a mistake presses a button. If it's a member of the ladies' team, you'll hear the bell. If it's a member of the gentlemen's team, you'll hear the buzzer. Scoring when we come to it, and the chairman's decision is final, so it's no good arguing. First piece. Mrs. Whistle, who had been a Colorado soprano, applied for... Eleanor Summerfield.
Well, of course, you could be right, but I think you mean coloratura.
I think I do.
Yes.
Yes, it's one mark for spotting mistake. A second mark for correcting it, and the marks are credited to the team, but if you press a button for a mistake and there isn't one, then the marks go to the opposing team. Anyway, this coloratura soprano, Mrs. Whistle, applied for the vacancy offered by the many a slip Gillian Reynolds.
You don't apply for a vacancy, you apply to fill a vacancy.
That's right, you apply for a job.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever, 2 marks. Offered by the many a slip railway company when they needed a station master. Thinking, Tim Rice...
Well, they should have advertised for a station person, because...
Whose side are you on?
I'm in fact, believe that all this chairperson thing is a load of what's-it, but the law is the law, and the company were in breach of the law in advertising for station master.
You can have a lady station master, of course you can.
Well, they should have said
station
so.
Mistress, it sounds indecent.
when
they needed a station master. Thinking the station was not often used much, she accepted the position, Tim Rice.
That is very bad grammar.
What is?
That sentence, what you just read.
Thinking the station was not often used much?
Yes, well, either it was not often used... I mean, that's all you need say.
That's it.
Don't need much.
Yes, too much. Too much. She accepted the position and then filled every job there of tantamount importance. David Nixon.
She accepted the position and then filled every job there?
Of tantamount importance.
No, I don't think so. That's not possible, is it?
Well, what is it, then?
She filled every job. You don't fill a job, do you?
Well, she did. Yes, closely. That's two to the ladies. Yes, Ellen.
You can't say a tantamount importance, can you? Paramount importance?
Paramount, much better, 2 marks. She had many new innovations, which she had the sense, David Nixon.
Tautology, if ever there was. You can't have a new innovation. If it's an innovation, it's new.
2 marks. Which she had the sense to commute to paper. But, Gillian Reynolds, that's the firm buzz.
Commute to paper. I think that's wrong. I think you mean commit.
I do. 2 marks. But whether they were any good must remain a mute point. She was... Gillian Reynolds,
this
she was.
This is one of my pet hates when people say mute point. Because that's wrong. It should be moot point.
Moot point. Yes. 2 right. 2 marks. She was a feminist, but not a woman's liver. And 90% of David Nixon...
I think, yes, there's a mistake there.
No.
She was a feminist.
But not a women's liver.
Did you say liver?
Yes.
Liver. Yeah, there was a mistake, wasn't
there? Yes, there was. Yes. Curiously enough. 2 marks. And 90% of every 100 passengers grew fond of her, Tim Rice.
Percent and 100 are tautology.
Yes.
You only need one of them.
90% of the passengers, 2 marks, grew fond of her. Every morning they would keep an eye out for her. Tim Rice.
Well, if there are 90 passengers, they would have more than one eye to keep out for her.
That's a bit feeble, Mr. Rice, and I'm not giving any marks for that. 2 to the ladies. Yes, Gillian Reynolds.
Every morning. I don't think anybody goes on a train every single day of their life.
Well, this lot did. That's 2 to the gentleman.
What silly people!
I've got to come in here and explain this in letters of one syllable. Every...
Words of one syllable.
Okay, 2 marks. 3 marks. Every morning they would keep an eye out. Should be keep an eye open or keep a lookout. Keep an eye out. Nonsense.
Fascinating.
And surround her on all sides, before Gillian Reynolds.
Surround her on all sides is a bit redundant. I mean, if you surround somebody, it's on
all sides.
Right.
Two marks. Before catching the 8:10, in spite of being immature at birth, she was a strong woman. Eleanor Summerview.
Can't say she was, in spite of being immature at birth. What does he mean? Premature, do you mean?
That's it. Two marks. She was a strong woman and delighted her prospective travellers by growing Eleanor Summerfield.
Did you say perspective?
I did.
Prospective.
Prospective or even perceptive, but not perspective, two marks, by growing roses at the back of the station in some soil which had proved to be very futile. Naturally, it... Gillian Reynolds.
Futile soil, I love it. Fertile, do you mean?
Two marks. Naturally, it followed that she was inundated with requests for buttonholes, David Nixon.
Inundated?
Two marks. Her secret fear, Gillian Reynolds.
Can I quibble with naturally it follows? Because nothing in this follows naturally very much one bit from another.
True, it's true.
In this piece, I entirely agree. Three marks. Her secret fear was that the station would close and she would be made abundant. David Nixon.
And she's worried? Redundant.
Two marks. The end of that piece, the ladies are leading by 29 marks to 19. 1924, long before our time, 1924 was the year in which Lenin died. Now, I'm not going into any arguments.
You knew what I was going to say. All right, I won't say.
1924 was the year in which Lenin died, his real name being Vladimir Ilyich Ilyov. The Olympic... Tim Rice.
I don't think that was his real name.
What was his real name?
Eric Dobson. I don't know, but I think that's almost right. But I think
what, Eric Dobson?
No.
No, what, you have one mark.
Whatever you said.
You're Vladimir Wright.
Would anybody like to fill it in for the other mark?
Not really, no.
Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov. The Olympic Games were held in London and were the reason for Tim Rice.
No, they weren't held in London that year.
Where were they held in London that year?
Was it Los Angeles?
No. That's
Paris.
Paris, yes. Yes, I'll let you have that because it's before your time. Were held in Paris and were the reason for the building of the Eiffel Tower. In the world of science, Eleanor Summerfield. <See? laughs> Eleanor Tower.
No, I thought it was built for a great Paris exhibition.
Yes, it was.
And a long time before that.
Yes, would like you to give me an estimate?
It was before the turn of the century.
It was.
But...
Name your own century. No, it was 1889.
Yes.
Commemorate the centenary of the revolution. In the world of science, Edward Appleton and M.F. Barrett measured the soggy side layer, which has Eleanor Summerfield.
I cannot believe there's anything called the soggy side layer.
What is it, then?
Something else.
Heavy side layer.
Heavy side layer. Well, quite right. Noel Card's Playtex was seen. Eleanor Summerfield.
He never showed it was so... No, it was the vortex.
Right, too much. The film The Ten Commandments was made, and in it came Moses' classic reply to his people's question, Gillian Reynolds.
Wouldn't it be in a silent film? So he couldn't actually say anything.
On the subtitles, it told you what he said. So
that's a text, not a reply.
No, not arguing on that. David Nixon.
Can I take you up on Moses's?
What would you like to say?
Moses, apostrophe.
I think either would be all right.
Yes, I do too. Actually.
No marks either way. Moses's or Moses' classic reply to his people's question, what shall we do? He... Tim Rice.
That wasn't their question.
Yes, it was. Due to the law. He said, keep taking the tablets.
I knew you were going to say something silly, but it's very clever. Yeah.
Right. Franz Lehár wrote The Merry Widow. Yehudi Menuhin... Gillian Reynolds.
I think Franz Lehár wrote The Merry Widow a bit earlier than that.
Yes, he did.
It was sort of before the turn of the century, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or just at the turn of the century.
Just after.
1902, three, somewhere around there.
It was five. You get your two marks. Yehudi Menuhin made his debut at the age of 21, and the American Eleanor Summerfield.
Oh, no, he was much younger than that.
Give me an estimate.
He was little. He was about 8 or 6.
He was 7.
7.
2 months. And the American Mr. Rice Kellogg invented the breakfast cereal. David Nixon.
No, he didn't.
Well, who did then?
A gentleman called Snap Crackle.
Yes, with his pop.
I don't know.
Well, have you got anything to add?
No, just...
Mark. Mm-hmm. What did Mr. Rice Kellogg invent? Anybody? It was the loudspeaker, the amplifier.
Oh. Mm.
And that's as far as we go with that instructive piece. And the ladies are still leading very comfortably, 45-25. Memory test, another fascinating piece of information. Later I'll read it with differences and the team will spot the differences. The mammalian dolphins are small, streamlined whales and some have well-defined beak-like snouts. Some people call some of them porpoises, but that name is better applied to similar beakless whales of the family Phocoenidae. I'll keep that firmly in mind. I shall be asking questions later. In the meantime, I'm handing over to our musical mistakes man at the piano, Steve Race.
Ever since Sir Frederick Ashton was awarded the DOM, I've been wanting to play you... Eleanor?
No, he's not a D-O-M.
What is he?
Oh, what, the O-O-O-M?
O-M. Yes, the O-M. Yes. That's right, 2 marks to you. And we wanted to play you some themes from the ballet. So I began just now with the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy from Coppelia. Julian?
That was the Dance of the Little Swans from Swan Lake.
So you get 2 marks, don't you? Matter of fact, you might get 2 more, I think. From the Nutcracker Suite comes this Russian dance. David, you have something to say.
You don't remember Felix, do you?
Heard tell.
The first cartoon character you went into.
Felix. I slipped into Felix, kept on walking, yeah. Yes. 2 marks to you. You don't have to be a balletomane to enjoy ballet music. Ballets like Aurora's Wedding, music by Tchaikovsky, Stravinsky's Firebug, Eleanor.
The Bird.
Yes, the Firebird, yes. Sir Arthur Bliss's Checkpoint Charlie. And Julian.
Checkpoint Charlie.
Mate.
Yes, I love that.
That's right, mate, yes. Not to mention the Polovitzian dances by... take some saying, too. David.
You just mentioned it.
Mentioned what?
What, the Polovitzian dances. You said not to mention, and then you mentioned it. 3 points.
No, you get 2 points for not to mention... And it sounds like to me like Eleanor for the Polovitzian dances.
Polovitzian.
Polovitzian dances, yes. 2 marks to you by Borodin, which this is a thick Tim. Hello.
Do you say Borodin?
Yes. I thought I would say Borodin. Yes, it's all right. We'll accept.
Is that all right, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
Borodin.
Wouldn't
yes.
Borodin
yes.
Be better.
The themes from Kismet were Borodin 1950.
Oh.
Here's the tune.
There was an extra note.
Yes, you're right. Yes, yes. A quick ear you've got. Well done. 2 marks. Only in ballet do you find special positions. There are. Gillian, do you want to say something?
That's not true at all. You find
no,
them
it isn't.
All the time.
2 marks. Yeah. 2 marks. There are 5 basic positions for the feet in ballet. In the 5th position, the legs are crossed with the heel of 1 foot. David.
No, they're not really. It's just that the toes are turned out. No, you don't really cross your legs. You never make it.
No, you've lost 2 valuable marks,
yes.
Mr. Nixon. I was being absolutely correct. The legs are crossed with the heel of 1 foot level with the toes of the other.
Right.
Right, Eleanor.
Really?
Yes.
How painful.
If we show you, can we have another 2 marks?
Well, I'm glad I do card tricks. I'd hate to have to do that for a living.
When Frédéric Chopin took a sheet of manuscript paper and wrote across the top Les Sylphides, this tune was one of the tunes he had in mind.
David?
That?
Yes. note of the first note of the last phrase. Yes. It's
all right. It's all right, Grandpa. You've got two marks.
Thank you.
You've got two marks. Somebody could have had two marks for pointing out that. Gillian.
Can I do it now? About Les Sylphides?
Yes, have a go.
Well, he wouldn't actually write Les Sylphides across the top of the paper because he just wrote the music and then someone else decided to make the ballet called Les Sylphides.
Right. Two marks. Oh. Splendid two marks. That's right. Yes. It may surprise you to learn that George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue has also been the subject of a ballet. As you remember... Oh, Gillian.
Doesn't surprise me at all. Everybody knows that. No, or nearly everybody.
No, I said it may surprise you.
Oh.
And I was speaking to those millions and millions and millions of listeners, you see. And it may surprise them.
I doubt it. But I'll give you 2 points.
All right, I'll have 2 points. I can't resist playing you the middle section of Rhapsody in Blue, but there's no time, so here instead, Eleanor...
Well, you have resisted it,
I have resisted, Steve. And you've got 2 marks for pointing that out. Here are the closing bars to end my spot. Closing bars of Gershwin's splendiferous piece. David.
I don't think there's really such a word as splendiferous.
Perfectly good word in Britain's major dictionary, yes. Splendiferous. 2 to the ladies. David.
That someday he'll come along.
Yeah, so let's have it finally. That's it.
Thank you very much, Steve Race. And at the end of your musical spot, you'll be interested to hear that the gentlemen have 43, but the ladies have 69. Now that memory test, back to the mammalian dolphins, which are small, smooth whales, and David Nixon.
I don't think you said smooth.
What did I say?
First time. Oh, dear. Do you know it, Tim? Small...
Anybody?
Streamlined.
Streamlined, yes, you have your 2 marks. Streamlined whales, and some have clearly defined snout-like beaks. Eleanor Summerfield.
Beak-like snout.
2 marks. Should have said well-defined, I should, not clearly defined. Some people think some of them porpoises. But that... Gillian Reynolds?
Think some of them porpoises. That there's something wrong with that. Yes, that's not what you said the first time.
What did I say the first time?
Think that somewhat.
So think of them as.
Some people call some of them porpoises.
Some of them, yeah.
Now, you have 1 mark. But that term is better applied to similar... Tim Rice.
Did you say term?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
I thought you did.
Yes. What did I say the first time?
Oh, I see, the first time. I'm totally lost. I thought you said... You did not say term the first time.
I didn't say term the first time.
Right, so I've got 1 mark.
You've got 1 mark. What did I say the first time?
Name.
Name, I did. 2 marks. Is better applied to similar snoutless whales of the family Eleanor something.
Beak.
Beak. Beakless, 2 marks. Yes. Of the family Phocoenidae. Yes, Gillian Reynolds.
That wasn't the name that you said before.
Yes, it was.
Oh.
Yes, really.
You said it different.
Right.
I didn't. 2 to the judge.
Say it again, Sam. Say it.
Phocoenidae.
Well done.
Not bad. And the memory test has made a difference. 82 to the ladies, 54 to the gentlemen.
Oh.
Mrs. Sesquipedalian.
No.
That erinaceous woman of Eleanor Sumfield.
No, she's not.
She's not erinaceous.
Erinaceous.
1 mark. Why not?
Oh, good. It sounds like something to eat.
Well, yes, possibly, yes.
Yes?
Yes. Yeah, that's a clue.
Because, like, farinaceous. Erinaceous.
It pertains to the hedgehog. Do you like hedgehog?
Delicious!
Good. You still only got 1 mark. That woman of normal pelicoid proportions was walking her peak to the heath where she hoped to find herself an ericaceous buttonhole. There... Eleanor Summerfield.
Yes, ericaceous could be heather, couldn't it?
It is.
All right.
So that's
yeah,
two
so,
to the gentleman.
Well, I'll shut up.
Uh-huh. Anybody want to argue about pelicoid? Pelicoid proportions? You do, Tim Wright?
I'd love to argue about it.
Yes.
It's hopelessly wrong.
It's hopelessly wrong. You have one mark. What does it mean?
I don't know.
You don't get the other mark. Pellicoid means hatchet-shaped.
Oh, yes. Pick up a pellicoid.
Hatchet-faced, we'd have passed, but not hatchet-shaped.
Oh, I see.
There she was met by a contubernal man and his homographic wife, who was so... David Nixon.
What should we take? Homographic or...
Homographic.
What's the first one?
Contubernal.
Contubernal?
Contubernal.
Contubernal. Inflammable?
No, that's two to the ladies. Contubernal's perfectly all right. He was a contubernal man. Contubernal means sharing the same tent, which indeed he was doing with his
lady. Same tent?
Tent, yes. Was doing with his homographic wife, who was so wet...
But on Hampstead Heath?
Gillian Reynolds.
Just point of order, Mr. Chairman. Did you actually clear up about the homographic wife? I mean, they were gnawing about at it a bit.
No, it didn't.
Yes. Do you want to query homographic?
Well, yes, I think
you
so.
Do.
I'm not quite sure what it means,
well,
but I think
mark.
It sounds peculiar.
Who can tell me what homographic means?
Drawing men.
It means having the same enharmonic ratio, which obviously,
what does
I
that
mean,
mean,
she hadn't.
No.
I'll tell you about that afterwards. It's pretty serious. We can't just fiddle about with a subject like that. Who was so wet they looked as though they'd just been disembogued. Their appearance, Gillian Reynolds.
Disembogued.
Disembogued.
I think that's wrong.
It's perfectly right.
What do you mean?
To disembogued, come out of the mouth of a river. Two to the gentleman.
Who?
Their appearance worried Mrs. Sesquipedalian until she remembered that she had in her handbag a decent futtock.
A futtock. She wouldn't have in her handbag.
Why not?
Well, it's a very small handbag, and you couldn't get a futtock in. I mean, and
they make them
anyway, she didn't
now.
Use futtocks much.
Oh, they do.
Pardon?
They do. Yes.
So,
yes. One
no,
mark.
Thank
one
you.
Mark. A futtock is one of the middle timbers of the frame of a ship between the fore and the top. It's very hard, I agree, to get a futtock in a small handbag. Fearing attentate, she stood back. But the poor man only wanted to sell her his anti-guggler. She... Eleanor Sumfield.
No, he wouldn't sell that. He wouldn't part the thing like that.
Why not?
Well, you don't get one very often.
Oh, you get them very frequently, and he wanted to sell his.
Funny
what
chap.
What is an anti-guggler?
The heath does have a curious effect on some people. Pardon?
What is an anti-guggler?
It's a thing you use against guggins. I give up.
Yeah, this is indeed true, yes.
You
I'm
do
going to
use
give you one mark.
Goody.
An anti-guggler, I'll give you two.
A siphon
inserted into a carboy so that when liquid is drawn off, there will be no guggling sound. She took one look at it, and assuming it to be stolen, and he, a Turian, reached for the... Yes, Eleanor Sumfield.
No, she wouldn't possibly think he was a Turian.
Well, he was.
Was he?
No, he wasn't. Do you know what a Turian is?
No.
A young shoot rising from the ground produced by a subterranean bud. You just have one mark. Reach for the nearest solid opsimath. Yes, Tim Rice.
Could you just repeat that last phrase?
Reached for the nearest solid opsimath.
She wouldn't do that.
Why not?
Most opsimaths are solid, so that's tautology.
I'll give you your two marks. Do you know what an opsimath is?
Yes.
One who is late in learning or begins to learn late in life, and they're very solid, and that's two marks.
Wow.
And at the end of that piece, the score is now 89 to the ladies, 63 to the gentlemen. And for our song in this final paragraph of this series, we've chosen the same song that's closed the last few series of Many a Slip. It's almost now a tradition. I'll See You Again from Noel Coward's Words and Music. Eleanor Sumfield.
Bittersweet.
Two marks. Here's the chorus. You'll hear us again, David Nixon.
I'll see you again.
Two marks. Whenever we get booked again, David Nixon, you remember it.
When that... I don't remember that we've used it every time, but I know the words, I think. Whenever spring breaks through again.
2 marks. Months may lie heavy between David Nixon.
Time.
2 marks. But what has been was worth the effort. Gillian Reynolds.
It's past forgetting.
2 marks. This sweet quiz program, David Nixon.
Memory.
2 marks. Across the air will, David Nixon.
Across the years.
2 marks. Will come to you. Gillian Reynolds.
Come to me.
2 marks. Though some laughs have gone awry, Gillian Reynolds.
Though my world may go awry.
2 marks. In my heart will ever lie, Ellen Sumfield.
Yes, very good.
Perfectly all right. Two of the gentlemen. Just the echo of this show, Gillian Reynolds.
Just the echo of a sigh.
2 marks. Goodbye.
Well done.
And that's as far as we can go. And the score of this closing 12th round, 97 to the ladies, 77 to the gentlemen. So this series works out at a dead heat at 6 rounds each. We hope we will be back again, many a slipping one day soon. Until then, on behalf of the teams, Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds and David Nixon and Tim Rice and Steve Race, our musical mistakes man, I'll say goodbye.
Many a Slip was devised and written by Ian Messiter. The chairman was Roy Plumley and the producer, Martin Fisher.